historically, customers want banking partners, but now with the advent of technology and the newer customers that are coming on board, they're a lot more open to actually shopping around. They're a lot more open to having more than one or two banking partners. That necessitates the traditional banks to do the transformation much faster and provide the services. So in order to achieve it, I think they do need to have a multi-pronged approach.
Welcome to the Hackett Group's Business Acceleration Podcast. Week after week, you'll hear from top experts on how to avoid obstacles, manage detours, and celebrate milestones on the journey to world-class performance.
Hi, I'm Jay Ruffin. I'll be your host for today's podcast. I'll be guiding the discussion, adding insights, and asking questions as necessary. Today, we have two special guests to discuss really important topic, Jonas Johannes and Vinu Mantha, both from Oracle within financial services. And we're going to talk a lot about both what's happening in banking and also what's happening with banking as relates to the cloud and some of the things that are happening, given some of the dynamics within the market. So let's jump right in. If you look at the last couple years, the banking industry, you know, has really changed. It's been impacted a lot, you know, from everything from COVID to new entrants to the market. Customers, folks are working from home, really want things simpler. They want it more tech friendly. They want it now. From your perspective, you guys, how do you think banks are going to be able to meet or continue meeting the challenge of their customers and keeping them happy given these really unprecedented times we're going through right now?
Jay, thank you for having us here. As you can imagine, COVID not only changed banking industry, but many in other industries as well, right? No significant disruption as we see it. But one outcome of that is people, the consumers are adapting technology-driven banking services quite a bit, touchless services. I think that necessitated the banks to think differently and accelerate their digital transformation as well. When I look at millennials, they have a significant adoption curve, right, in terms of the applications and how many services they use as well. And whereas other demographies who are adopting the technology significantly went up. In fact, one of our customers recently, we've seen that their digital lines went up from 4 million to 11 million customers adopting their apps and how they interact with the bank itself, really. That, I think, is significantly changing how banks think about their own transformation. And on top of it, I think the advent of both the big technology as well as fintechs is making the traditional bankers to think differently. It's all about how do we accelerate our own digital journey so more services could be provided and effectively they could be delivered to the existing customers as well as potential customers. Because if you look at the industry trends, millennials starting with them and even potentially, right, Gen Z and others, they are at the forefront of adopting these technologies. And if you look at the future, I think whoever is going to make that journey quicker, leapfrog to it and drive a lot of innovation, adopt this technology, I think they're going to be the winners. And then the big banking is clearly recognizing that and they're looking for ways to accelerate the journey.
That's interesting. You mentioned some of the competition and some of the folks that are kind of getting into that space, if you will, the banking space. I think that's interesting because we've seen big tech as well as others get into the market today. I don't know. Jonas, you have a perspective on that?
Yeah, I think I would probably pass it to Vinu, but what we're seeing is the market has been entered or attacked by non-bankers, which include fintech, big tech, retail, and others. And they have all different kind of impact. And some impact are not straightforward. For example, the peer-to-peer lending expectation was to have impact on banking lending, but that particular impact is, you know, minuscule. However, the implication for the peer-to-peer have been on the deposits, where depositors are choosing to take a risk and place their money with lenders, so for higher returns. So higher returns are becoming important, you know, particularly millennials and Generation Z. They look to this as one of the things which attracts them. A recent question which say, why would you choose a new primary financial service organization for the different generations showed that what's important to Gen Z and millennials, it is lowest fee, cash incentives and rewards, and best rates. And that's true for both generation. You know, if you compare that, for example, to boomers, they also have lowest fee, but I think the second place is convenient branch network or their experience at the branch. And of course, the third one is best rates. So I'll pass the rest to Vinu.
Absolutely. I think, Jonas, you are hitting this really well. Primarily, when we look at what's happening in the industry, on one hand, big tech is definitely coming into this space quite a bit. And then also fintech is creating opportunities to expand the network as well. I look at it as potentially a two-pronged approach the banks could take. One is they may have to take on a little bit more head-on with the big tech, because if you look at Apple coming up with their own cards and others potentially entering into this with the co-ops and services, right, from peer-to-peer money transfers to other banking services that are out there. See, traditionally, the bankers had their own core competencies in terms of various segments, whether it's investment banking, whether it is consumer banking, and other areas. Investment banking, probably the barriers are still a little bit more higher, right? You know, so even though we are seeing an advent of a lot of fintechs coming up in that space, but potentially either you can create your own technology center, your own fintech to take on that, or you could even partner with some of them, bring them on board so that you have a larger network that can give you the potential capabilities to service your customers a lot more effectively today, as well as paving the way for tomorrow in the future. Whereas with big tech, I think it's going to be coming from the consumer side of the house. And that's where I think you may have to take on a little bit more head on and then bring the technology that you're leveraging to leapfrog to the next level. So you could not only provide additional services, but also deliver them in a touchless fashion where the adoption is going a much, much higher level, really. With that kind of a two-pronged approach, I think truly the traditional banks can essentially get to the next level and then see how they can take on the digital transformation itself.
That's an interesting strategy, Vinu. So what are you saying is, you know, it's really interesting. So if you're a big tech, I will have a frontal attack against you. But if you're fintech, you have a co-opetition model where you invite them into your partner ecosystem so they can ally yourself in building solutions to compete against the big tech. And I think what I heard you also say is that the big techs, in addition, they're actually encroaching into banking territory, which makes it absolutely necessary to have a frontal attack in an alliance with fintech. Is that the strategy?
Absolutely. That's how we see it, because you need to have a multi-pronged approach. It's a question of right where you choose to compete and defend your turf directly, and where you could leverage your partners to expand the network. So you build an ecosystem around your own services. So 1 + 1 becomes 3, right? You know, that's the approach that we would have to take it and leverage technology very effectively in both the scenarios. So you have a very robust strategy to compete, but more importantly, know your customers much better in the process and also provide the services they're looking for. Because historically, customers looked at one or two banking partners, but now with the advent of technology and the newer set of customers that are coming on board, they're a lot more open to actually shopping around. They're a lot more open to having more than one or two banking partners. That necessitates the traditional banks to do the transformation much faster and provide the services. So in order to achieve it, I think they do need to have a multi-pronged approach.
Is there this is interesting points you guys are making. I'm wondering, it's almost like there's a threat mitigation strategy or approach that banks should be taking. And I'm thinking, you know, there probably are a couple of things I can think of top of my head, but I'm interested to get your thoughts on, you know, when you think about mitigation strategies and things as strategic imperatives that banks should have to consider to kind of go after those partnerships and to kind of help them along the path to really modernization. Is there something that you would recommend to kind of help with the threats? And one last thing too, I was thinking about as you guys were talking, because there's kind of the external threat with kind of big tech, fintech. There's also dealing with the kind of the internal kind of juxtaposition of government regulations. I think you touched about that a little bit with like data protection laws and how those are kind of increasing, as well as things around security and really internal philosophy, if you will. But what's the approach you think is the best one to take, given some of the things you guys have mentioned, to kind of make things more efficient?
So I think there are a few imperatives that you need to target. One of the things that banks need to think differently is, you know, how they interact with their customers. My belief is banks have to raise their level, their service level to their customers, and looking actually a life cycle of a customer in general. So what I mean by client engagement, looking at different parts of the customer journey and optimize with the intent to always delight, to always impress the customer for the purpose of not only acquiring the customer, but retaining them. In fact, there is data, you know, study done by BI. BI asked customers, would you switch your financial service organization for a better mobile app or digital experience? The Generation Z and millennials combined, 63% they said yes, while only 22% said yes on the boomers, which shows there's a little bit some of bank loyalty there, but the bank loyalty is going away from the bank. So banks cannot continue to treat clients and customers in a status quo, just as, you know, as in the past. They have to have a better way to deal with them. That's number one. Number two is they have to change their mindset with the customer. The customer is actually their primary asset. While I think they have some good value, strong value proposition in terms of products and that banks can provide, the primary strong asset of a bank should be perceived to be a customer, which will necessitate the bank to see all their solutions from the customer perspective. So that, what I mean by that is, you know, customer centricity. So that's the second one. You also raised the question of risk. Risk in general, banks have always lived in a space of risk and risk management across multiple dimensions. Their credit risk, their market and liquidity risk, you know, their operational risk, and other risks. But I think in the new digital normal, they need to start to view, you know, risk in a context of resilience and actually start to provide a much more comprehensive digital risk strategy and mechanism that it is worthy of the new digital transformation. Keeping in mind that the not only we have the regular credit risk, but market shocks and other environmental and diversity issue are critical to millennials and Gen Z, both from a recruitment perspective and from a customer standpoint. So those are the two things I would probably would focus. There are multiple dimensions that you have to be aware in banks. Having a robust risk management and a robust client engagement is not enough. I would probably consider focusing as always on your efficiency. So driving operational efficiency right across the bank. And last, trying to change the mindset of the bank from a slow-moving entity to a very agile entity. So agility will be key to have the new customer expectation met. And not only that, also to have a very robust risk management mechanism that allows you to be always ahead of the game of, for example, of the cyber attackers, fraudsters, et cetera, et cetera.
Jonas, you bring up a very good point there, because you're talking about how do you manage risk and the client engagement. And those are some of the table stakes, right? You know, the banks are known to do those kinds of activities. And you're also talking about agility, right? And along with operational efficiency. I think that is the most interesting part, because traditionally with the technology environment, typically banks have been a little bit more resistant in adopting newer technologies because of risk, because of security and regulation and all of them. But now they can't be sluggish in those kind of environments because they quickly realized because of the threats, both internal and external, that we talked about before. I think the banks that bring agility are going to be the ones who are going to move faster, better, and be able to meet their demands. And if I have to summarize, right, probably the three dimensions that every customer is bringing to the forefront as we see them are resiliency, flexibility, and innovation, really. I think right now, Jonas, as you were saying, the agility plays a major role as an undercurrent to these three things that I'm talking about, really. Resiliency is extremely important for them because as and when you continue on this digital transformation journey and as you adopt newer technologies and bring new services to the marketplace, you also have significant threats, right? You know, whether it is hackers, whether it is some other vulnerability that is out there. So you need to be planning for your resiliency while thinking about mitigating the risk that is out there. And also the banks want the flexibility because, you know, you bring up on the operational efficiency. The way you can achieve that is when you have flexibility with your infrastructure and, you know, look at your entire data platform and your underlying technology, really, how it can give you the flexibility to meet the user demands. That not only brings the efficiency, but also I think it keeps the cost low as well, right? You know, so that is the second point. Unless you have these two things, you cannot really go more towards innovation. Just traditionally, last few years, banks, when you talk to them, when they are adapting cloud and then moving away from data centers, the innovation was led by developer community to an extent. They wanted to have an agile environment and they started looking at various cloud service providers to say, hey, quickly, can I spin up something and then have a custom application really? I think it's an organic growth from there that happened. But I think now organizations are taking a step back to say, all right, now how do I plan this in a holistic manner? Because yes, right, we got some innovation out of it, but I think it's getting to a point where now it's like the good old on-prem days, right? You know, so you're not getting the agility that you want. Yes, right, now we are developing a lot of these applications much faster and quicker. But I think they are looking for purpose kind of environments, really. Now, for example, if you look at your data that is going to allow you to make all these right decisions with your customers and providing these services, really, you need to think about your entire data platform holistically. It's not about just simply coming up with one or two applications mainly quickly and getting set of compute resources or storage resources to do something, do the development with the one or two applications. What it would entice you to do it is take a step back and look at your entire data fabric, your entire data platform holistically. That means you need to look at your horizontal applications and as well as core banking vertical applications. And then how do I take that data and then also potentially mash it up with other sources of data that we have been collecting so that I could come up with innovative services? We are clearly seeing, right, you know, it's not only from fraud prevention, but also understanding your customer a lot better with AI and cognitive services that you could operate on top of this. That holistic thinking is extremely important as our customers are planning to take their digital journey so they have resilient, flexible, and innovative solutions and meeting the demands of the marketplace as we see it. I think, right, that agility combined with innovation is going to give our customers what they're looking for to achieve and then compete fairly effectively in the marketplace while they're taking this digital journey, as I see it.
Yeah, that's interesting, you know, because my experience has been tons of our clients, you know, at Hackett, everybody's moved to the cloud, but when you ask them about what's the strategy, do you have a, have you written down a migration strategy or approach? And a lot of them say no. You know, it's a lot of it's organic and some are doing it well where they actually, you know, have something that they've developed to kind of show this is the path we're going down and this is kind of how it's going to impact our ability to compete. A lot of times it's really organic. So I guess two questions. One, given that, and you were talking about it a little bit, on the provider side, a provider seeing that's happening and given that kind of leapfrogging to the point where there is kind of a fit for purpose solution that kind of takes consideration some of those the needs that banks have for integration and migration and kind of the fit for purpose need, given kind of where the market is. Is that kind of where you think providers are today, or do you think you're kind of in a juxtaposition?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Jay. I think the providers are taking the journey as well. I think if you look at the top four or five cloud providers, I think they are at the various parts of their journey. And Oracle, definitely, I think we are taking that journey significantly as well. The way I look at it is when the customers think about their need to transform, mainly if you look at the tactics that they need to achieve, what we were talking about earlier, they need to transform and modernize their infrastructure, right, through resilient cloud. So that means that fit for purpose kind of a cloud is what they need to arrive at. But by just simply trying to move a set of applications without modernizing them, without thinking about optimizing that environment and then extending that platform, is not going to cut it really. So the first step is, how do you take the journey? As you said, right, many of our customers really, right, when I talk to them, they already made some decisions because it's on CEO's agenda to either cut down the cost or invest significantly more into this journey, digital transformation journey. They have not thought through the portfolio rationalization yet, but they need to do that rationalization upfront before we take the journey. Otherwise, right, you know, a lot of the challenges that you face in the on-prem world, they're going to translate into the cloud as well. That's one. But assuming that, okay, you take that step one, the step two is like, okay, then how do I run my cloud native applications in an elastic fashion, really? So I am taking significant advantage of that journey and the cloud itself. And then the third step is going to be more like, okay, how do I extend this thing? Like, you know, when I talk to a lot of our banking customers now, they are doing simulations, let's say like Monte Carlo simulations with high performance computes and everything. It used to be a lot harder in the earlier days, or a lot more expensive versus now how quickly they will be able to do it. But you have to think through that to say that, how do I extend my compute platform beyond what I have already as part of my mission critical applications, so that now I'm getting into this fourth dimension of, you know, open banking architecture, really, right? That journey, a lot of the folks may not have thought through it, but at Oracle, clearly, we're thinking through that because we want to give that cohesive experience, right? You know, if you look at ERPs and HCM and all the core operational and HR systems that you have, those horizontal applications that are common across, right, multiple organizations. Then you have your core banking applications that you need to bring them together. And then how do I allow you to have that seamless integration so you don't have to move a lot of your data back and forth between your applications? You reduce the risk of losing the data, or more importantly, getting more value out of this data, right? You know, so at least you could start offering new services to your customers, get to know your customers a lot better, really. That unique experience between your application, your PaaS services is going to be key to allow you to extend it. And that's where I think the industry is going to make significant strides in the journey as we see it.
I hear you. I think the interesting thing for me too is that it's working, you know, with a lot of banks. One of the things that, you know, we often see is a lot of their legacy technology is just that, legacy technology. And being able to have a viable strategy, especially given COVID, right, to strategically migrate aggressively so that you can take advantage of kind of this new digital environment, it seems like it's imperative, given the fact that, like you guys previously said, you got big tech and fintech kind of knocking at the door. I don't know, Jonas, what's your perspective on some of this from a modernization and a migration perspective?
Oh, that's a good question, Jay. So let me just take you back the memory lane when I was a CIO at the bank, at the large bank here, the fourth largest bank here in the US. But if you walk into the application development factory and supporting infrastructure and data center, what you would see is a lot of legacy applications, which they have been stitched together over the years because of the many, many merger integrations that we were executing. So what you're going to find is, you know, you find a very complex, fragile, brittle architecture in existence. So the new normal, whether it post-COVID, COVID just made it very visible, what shown us is that we need to be agile. We need to be innovative, and you need to fend the attack from big tech and fintech. One of the constraints that you're going to be aware of very quickly as a banker is that the current legacy system, it is going to have to be, the architecture have to be re-architected to be optimal to the agility and flexibility level that you need to meet the current customer expectation. So Venu nailed it right on the money. You know, one of the key elements that you ought to do is to have a very robust migration and modernization strategy, which have visibility all the way into the board. In fact, we believe that the strategy should not be simple a CIO strategy. This should be a board and a CEO strategy with their mandate and their point of view. And a key element of that will be simplification of the current architecture before you migrate your solution to the cloud. And this one have two key values, right? Number one, it mitigates some of the risk of a migration that you're going to encounter inevitably. Number two, it will force you to prioritize and really look at the different migration archetypes you're going to run into. And you will find out very quickly, like lift and shift, maybe actually a small population, the largest population in a bank, maybe other Rs, lift, for example, it might be lift and optimize. And in some cases also it might be a replace with an existing solution, which brings me back to what Vini was saying, the fit for purpose cloud platform. Key element to all this will be what it is, an emerging technology, a platform which is specifically made for the banking that will be banking. What that means is not only at the infrastructure level will be all the solution constructs will be optimized, for example, throughput for the payment, for example, right? But also to the extent possible, you may have banking capability that are actually out of the box that you can leverage, making your migration really easy rather than having the migration at the use case or at the code level. You have migration at the capability level. So you kind of have a replace, approach to your new normal. So that is one important ingredient in your recipe to your success of the modernization and migration strategy. I think, Venu talked about the strategy, which is absolutely critical, but also who you partner with and whether the platform is fit for purpose or not will matter in your success.
That's great, Jonas. I think that one thing that I think about, again, with a lot of this is time is of the essence, right? I mean, things aren't slowing down. I think if you look at big tech and fintech and even some, like you were mentioning, retail, they're continuing to expand their footprint and influence millennials and Generation Xers in terms of non-traditional uses or entries in terms of financial services. How is Oracle looking at this in terms of tackling some of these challenges? Is there an approach that Oracle's taking to kind of address the urgency, if you will, of some of these things that are happening now?
So Oracle, I think, is completely rethinking, how to support the clients making a transition to the digital new normal. The way they are doing it, completely looking at the platform and make it industry specific by providing platforms which are being test hardened, for example, for banking. In that platform, providing a mechanism to accelerate the not only the migration, but also the modernization to containers and native cloud, right? So let me give you a specific example how. For example, in the application development factory itself, Oracle is not coming just providing general purpose environment. Rather, they're providing APIs. These are not general purpose APIs. They are banking APIs and also providing no code workflows, which allow the developer to assemble the solution quickly. This have two advantages. One is that you can actually develop your new normal solution into the cloud as you see it at the capability level without really doing the difficult migration that have been proposed by some of our competitors, like, parsing, for example, parsing the code base and, converting it to the target language, which is probably the last approach you want to try. The first approach you want to try is the work with the CSPs to have a fit-for-purpose platform, and to the extent possible at every stack of a solution, have bankified solutions which make your migration faster. That's one of the things that Oracle is putting in place. The other one is Oracle Database have an autonomous engine which use AI and ML, which primarily is self-sufficient in terms of maintaining the entire database on a cloud. This is not to mean just automation. This means automation plus, right? You will have a mechanism to automate through infrastructure as a code and other mechanisms, but also I think take it to the next level where the autonomous engine can act on its own to do things that need to be done in IT ops.
To add on top of that is we are definitely thinking and rethinking and accelerating capabilities to give the leg up to our customers. But how do we do that? If you think about this digital transformation or the digital journey, in our opinion, I think there are two parts to it. Part one is what kind of cloud services that you have and how do you integrate them? What kind of experience you can give it to the developers and as well as the end users of those services so you could accelerate the journey and make that experience really rich for them? That is one area. The second area is how do you help our customers to take that migration journey itself in a much better planned way, risk mitigated way, and agile way that you can bring it forward as well. So these are the two major areas we believe, right? You know, it's going to be important for us. Number one is when you think about product integrations and customer experience, it starts with the entire portfolio. As we were talking about earlier, if you think about only a set of developers quickly getting an account and then from there organically growing in a lot of other service providers, right, which are in the top tier, they started their journey quite a bit, I think, right, you know, by providing just simply compute and storage kind of services, really. It can go only so far. You know, it's not giving that unique experience, you know, holistic thinking to the banking customers. What we're doing differently is we have a significant lead in our industry knowledge, whether it's financial services or it is all of the major industries that are out there. We are taking our knowledge of the horizontal applications, typically that focus on your HR to supply chains to other areas, right? And ERPs. And you take your specific vertical solutions that we are used to creating. Because if you look at top 20 to top 100 banks that are out there, majority of them, they use our solutions as well, the vertical banking solutions as well. How do you take that kind of knowledge that you have and can you integrate all those pieces together? And on top of it, really, you bring AI, ML kind of capabilities. Because when we talk about AI, ML, it's not just simply at the application layer. We go all the way down to the infrastructure level within our OCI, where from a security and threat perception detection to at the application layer, data layer, application layer, ability to find the golden nuggets that are out there in the data so that you can make better informed decisions. You can provide better services actually to your customers, because we don't want to just simply look at your bottom line alone, really, and okay, how do you optimize your IT environment, but how can I give you a leg up so you can impact your top line as well? Because unless all these banks, they start thinking about their top line, there's only so much you can squeeze out by looking at the bottom line and then how do you do it, right? Okay, just that would be an IT-centric view, right? We don't want that. We want you to take a business-centric view. That means you had to bring your horizontal applications, vertical applications, and then innovation on top of it through the technology. And then any outcomes you have, like predictions and new services that you could think about, integrate back into the application portfolio so that within that cycle, you provide unique experience to users of your services, but ultimately your end users, really. That's how we think about fit for purpose kind of cloud environment. We should be able to solve 80% of your use cases and challenges right out of the box fairly quickly with minimal investment, and then be able to integrate these solutions so you're thinking holistically. That's where I think majority of the innovation is going for us and how we think about helping our customers very, very uniquely, because we are the only top cloud services provider who has that kind of industry knowledge significantly compared to anybody else. That's part one. Part two is, okay, now how do I help our customers through this journey? Typically, right, we want them to think through it in a four-step process, right? You know, of course, you want to migrate, and in the process of migrating, you want to optimize it. You want to look at your application portfolio, optimize that portfolio, and then optimize that journey itself so that you start getting more value out of the cloud. Otherwise, right, and if you're not optimizing it, then you're not impacting both the cost drivers as well as the risk drivers. We want you to take advantage of cloud by doing it. We are bringing in a lot of investment services, right? Whether it's education, whether it's something like Oracle Cloud Lift services. So we want to be there throughout the journey and help you think through this journey itself and plan together to meet your business objectives. And we can help you with that migration and optimization. Then we think about, okay, how do you modernize and how do you innovate really, right? This is where you're going to get your financial institutions to provide cloud native and open banking driven solutions to meet investment client expectations really that you have. Extend your data platform and build innovative financial solutions by leveraging technologies like, you know, AI, ML, blockchains, digital wallets, and all of them, right? And how do you quickly accelerate that innovation as well? So we're bringing our experts and we're investing in our customers' journey so that they take advantage of our vast experience from multiple customers, a lot of times at no additional cost. So they are successful in their journey. So we take both the product side as well as tactically the migration side of the house. And then we are infusing our knowledge, infusing our investments to help our customers to take this journey much faster in a risk mitigated fashion.
That's great, Venu. And I guess a couple closing thoughts, and I'll let you guys add your thoughts too. But given all the stuff that we've talked about, I think I read somewhere that 99% of Generation Zers and 98% of millennials are using mobile banking for everything from, you know, viewing account balances, checking credit scores, making deposits and checks. It's only going to get hotter. So having a solution that's fit for purpose is definitely something that I think is going to get more intense for banks to look at to allow them to compete. So great topic, great insights. I don't know if you guys have anything else to add to close out that you would have folks that are considering on the banking side, you know, looking at cloud, words of advice.
Yeah, let's say a little bit in numbers what you just said, right? So a recent study by showed that 12% of companies said they had changed banks. This is basically on the business banking side, banks, because of know your customers issue, right? And this is, you know, in how it's done both digitally being exactly like it's done legacy. The same cumbersome mechanism transitioned out in the digital world, costing them 12% of their customers just to change institution. And the another number to keep in mind for your clients is that 63% of millennials will change in a heartbeat for a company. And I'm not saying a bank. I think you said a little bit of bank. Any other institution provide them a solution, right? Which is mobile in nature, digital in nature, and also have a very robust level of self-service so they can help themselves. So to the question that, do you bank only with the traditional bank or other? 44% of the millennials and Gen Z said yes, while 57% is on the boomer side of the equation. And 59 on Gen X. What that means is there's a very big threat in terms of Gen Z and millennials not being tied to the bank of their father and grandmother. And last but not least, I think who is your primary financial service organization? While I think the number for all demographics remain in the 41 to 47% range, if you look, If you double click on the Gen Z and millennials, their numbers, they're at 25 and 22% of their activity, it's digital and is not with the bank. It's with a non-bank. So this is something like banks need to keep in mind. I think that's my two cents there.
Jonas, you bring up a very good point there, right? Now, some of those statistics are definitely like very interesting and staggering, in my opinion. I think, you know, every bank should think about their digital transformation journey, keeping those kinds of numbers in mind, because that is the future generations between Gen Z and millennials, really, right? How quickly and how savvy they are in switching across the service providers, the number of service providers that they're looking at from a banking point of view, right? Now, my advice to the executives and the leaders that are out there, right, in the banking field, when they are thinking about this journey, taking the journey with clouds, I think it's very clear that you're going to have a multi-cloud strategy, most likely. You know, every medium to large size banking sector, I think every customer has that. Just think about the platform holistically. Think about, right, you know, how you can provide that unique experience for them, even though in the short run, or you may say that, okay, I have a partner initially to begin with, that's not necessarily the best option for you, probably. You may want to look at it holistically and then see what are the set of partners probably that you want to have, so you can provide the best possible services and take this journey, one, cost effectively, two, in a risk mitigated fashion, but more importantly, you have the ability to start impacting your top line, right? You know, so it should not be an IT centric conversation, even though it's a technology driven transformation, but it should be more around business driven conversation as I see it.
The last part, in a way, numbers that I want to give you is the growing threat of synthetic identity fraud, SIF, right? It's the fastest growing fraud type. 85 to 95% of the current fraud applications or fraud systems cannot really detect on applications for, let's say, an account by a fraudster. And it is predicated on breaches and exposed accounts. So just something to keep in mind, 446 million records were exposed, you know, which is an increase of 126%. So something to keep in mind.
Great. Well, thank you, Jonas. Thank you, Venu. Great conversation. As we've said in the past, this is part of a series we're doing on the cloud and financial services and impacts the market is having. So I'll look forward to our next conversation and set of research papers. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. You can find the audio, helpful resources, and a transcript of each episode at podcast.thehackitgroup.com. If you liked this episode, please share it. You can also subscribe at Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening app so you never miss an episode. We'd welcome your feedback by tapping the rating on this or any episode, or send us an email at podcast@thehackitgroup.com. The Hackett Group is the global leader in defining and enabling world-class performance. Learn how we can assist with your improvement journey at www.thehackettgroup.com.